Today we're going to look at James 2, verses 1 through 13, and the title of the message is, The Verdict is Guilty. This scene that James is writing about takes place in God's courtroom. The congregation that James was writing to was on trial for committing an offense. The crime was committed in the church. The prosecutor, who is God, is presenting his case. The law of God had been broken. The congregation was found guilty, and the judge delivers the warning. First of all, let's think on the defendants. Verse 1 begins, My brethren. These were God's children. They were believers. They were not some hardened criminals who were deeply involved in some form of vice or were known for their cruelty, or also not people that were idol worshipers involved in hideous immoral practices. These were believers. They had been driven from their homes. They had been scattered abroad, as we saw in chapter 1, and they had suffered much because of the many trials that they had faced. They regularly assembled together for worship. They were good, law-abiding Christians, and maybe even citizens. Secondly, let's see what their crime was. Verses 1 through 4. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons, or by showing partiality. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and good apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect for him that wears the good clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, but say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Now, their crime. Why would these people be on trial? They had committed an offense. Now, different people came to visit their assembly. Some were rich people that wore expensive clothing and gold rings, and some were poor people that wore poor, dirty clothing. The rich people that came into their assembly were favored above the others. They were given a good seat to sit in, but the poor people either had to stand wherever they could or had to sit on the floor. They were not even given a seat by the believers themselves. Now, the rich people were treated with respect and courtesy and honor, but the poor people were treated rudely and shunned. Notice the last part of verse 4. You are become judges of evil thoughts. Do Christians do things like this, as these believers that James was writing to? Yes, they do. Even in witnessing or visitation, we may seek to win certain class of people above another class. Now, why would you call this a crime? Is it all that bad? Well, let's continue. Notice the motive in verses 5 through 7. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called?" Now, notice God's example. He refers to those that are saved as rich in faith and heirs of his kingdom. I want to read one verse of scripture in Galatians 3, verse 28. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And then in Romans 10, verse 12, we read, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Now, those that have received Christ are rich. It says they're rich in faith. They put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they become heirs of the kingdom of God. You see, God saves everyone who exercise faith in Jesus Christ, who receive him as their Savior. Then he speaks about sometimes what the rich people's conduct is. He said, sometimes the rich are quick to sue, quick to take a person to court. They show little kindness and sympathy. They're quick to use us and to demand what is not even reasonable for us. And sometimes they blaspheme the name that the believers love so much. Now, why would these believers that James was writing to show favoritism to the rich? Well, let's think of what the Christians' motives could be. Now remember, these believers that James was writing to were probably poor. They had faced many trials. They had to leave their homes and flee wherever they could for safety. And perhaps they wanted to impress the rich people that came into their assembly. You see, the rich had more money to give than the poor people think. And perhaps they would think, well, think what the Lord could do with all the money that these rich people have. And maybe they thought the rich would treat them better themselves. And maybe the rich would help relieve some of the persecution that they faced. Well, we don't know for sure what their motives were, but anyway, these are perhaps motives that they could have had. Now, fourthly, notice God's law in verses 8 through 11. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. Now, notice he speaks of the scripture as the royal law. It's God's law. And Jesus is the King of Kings, and this is the King's law. And the law says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, I'm sure. Jesus told about this man that went down from Jerusalem, perhaps a Jewish man, and here he was attacked and robbed and beaten by thieves. And after he was there laying on the ground, terribly wounded, a priest, a religious leader, came by, and he looked at the man, and he went right on by. And then Jesus said a Levite came by, and he was a religious person, and he looked at him, and he walked by. But then Jesus said a Samaritan came along. And remember, the Samaritans were considered as outcasts. And yet the Samaritan helped this man. He put him on his donkey. He took him to an inn, and he nursed him back to health. Now, we are to love and help and respect others and treat others well and care for others as we would do for ourselves, or as we would want others to do for us. We are to show no partiality, but these believers were showing partiality. They were showing respect for the rich, but were showing rudeness toward the poor. Now, James refers to the Ten Commandments. If we would keep 9 commandments but break just one, James says we're guilty of lawbreaking, just as guilty as if we had broken all of them. And he names 2 of the commandments concerning adultery and murder, and both of them are awful. Now, if a person doesn't commit adultery and yet kills, then we have violated the whole law. Now, let's give an example of driving a car. If we're driving a car, we don't have to speed and drive without a license and fail to stop at stop signs and drive on the wrong side of the road and drive with no lights at night. We don't have to do all of that in order to be guilty of a violation. If we just do one of those things wrong, we are guilty and we can be ticketed and fined. Now notice the verdict, verse 9. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. You see, they were guilty. In verse 1, they were told to stop being a Christian and yet show partiality. And in verse 3, it says that they had respect or were partial toward the rich. And verse 4 says, you are partial and have evil thoughts. And verse 6 said that they despise the poor. But then notice how verse 9 that we just read began. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And that word, if, means since. In other words, it isn't if you do this. What it means is they were doing this. They were showing partiality. They had respect toward the rich, but shunned the poor. And James points out that they had committed sin and had violated the law of God, and they were guilty. Now notice verse 6 again. But you have despised the poor, or they dishonored the poor. They treated shamefully the poor. In chapter 1, verse 27, we read, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You see, Christianity is caring, helping, whether it's fatherless or widows or whoever else may have need, Christianity involves caring for those that have need and loving others as our neighbor as ourself. Instead, these believers were dishonoring and treating the poor shamefully, the very ones they should have respected and had compassion for. Now notice the warning in verses 12 and 13. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now speak and act according to God's word. Speak and act in obedience to God's word. Live according to what God's word teaches. And he warns them, he says, you shall have at the judgment, you shall be judged according to how you have lived as to what God's word teaches. Now, salvation, we are saved by obeying what God's word says, by personally receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, that's how we're saved. But as a Christian, once we've made that personal decision, we are to live according to what God's word teaches. And the better we know God's word, the better we will know how to live. You see, God will show mercy on those who have shown mercy to others. God will not show mercy on those who have not shown mercy. So when we think of the judgment seat, every believer is going to stand at the judgment seat one day, and there will be reward and rejoicing over every act of mercy that we have shown to others. Every act of kindness and every act of love and compassion that we have shown to others will be rewarded when we stand before the judgment seat. And there will be rejoicing in heaven over what we have done for God. Yes, God wants us to be a caring people, caring for the unsaved and seeking to reach them for Christ and loving them and also caring for one another. Let us not be guilty of sinful conduct, of sinful wrong motives, regardless of what circumstances we may be living under, regardless of what problems we may face, regardless of how bleak the future may seem, and regardless of how others may treat us, God wants us to be loving, caring people. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for reminding us through this book of James how important it is that we be loving, caring people. Lord, I pray that we might learn more and more how to live in a way that pleases you and that shows care for others and shows others the love of Christ. I pray that others would see God's love through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.